Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:10 Irish Summer Time. Today is August 17th, and today being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. Well, I think it's safe to say that given the week that we've had, if every week was like this one, careers in financial markets would be a lot shorter because we have gone from the two extremes of fear and greed. Because there has been widespread nervousness and probably panic in some sectors. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yesterday's action was climactic, and following some very, very chunky declines across a range of different asset classes yesterday, the Fed waded in today and cut the discount rate by 0.5%. Now that's not the target rate. The discount rate is the rate at which at which the Fed lends to banks. So it's a cut that is directly aimed at the financial sector and aimed at easing some of the turmoil that is existing in the credit market. And this is important because this is probably the first real test that the Bernanke Fed has had since he took over. And the Greenspan put has gone into a practically, I don't know if this is actually true, but it makes a good example that it's practically gone into common parlance, probably into the Oxford English Dictionary. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if this is now called the Bernanke put, because there was trouble in the markets and he has waded in and announced a range of different measures to help ease the credit burden. Now, that's important because it helps to restore confidence in the Fed, and it helps to give investors, it throws a lifeline to investors, to put it mildly. Well, the result that we've had has been really quite amazing. You had the S&P closing well off the lows yesterday. It had been down 25 points, closed up 4, nearly 5 on the day. It's up 34 today, that's 2.46%. The FTSE was up 3.5%. And Europe, everything was up over 1%, almost 1.5% on the DAX. That was probably the worst performer. However, Asia was a little bit more mixed. Now, Asia had been quite resilient to this selling pressure for much of this correction. But this week, a number of indices got hit really quite hard. And we saw that in Asia today, a number of markets falling dramatically. For instance, Singapore is a very good example. It fell a lot on the open, but it rallied well towards the end and actually closed up on the day, if my memory serves correctly. The Nikkei did not, however. The Nikkei was down over 5%, 874 points. Now that is a climactic move. And I frankly would be amazed, given the action that we've seen subsequently, if the Nikkei doesn't rally on Monday. But this move by the Fed is important and not to be underestimated. Now, sentiment has been incredibly bearish, and bearishness has actually been pyramiding over the last week. And I can tell you that the reports that have been crossing my desk have been just incredibly bearish. You know, some of them even talking about the end of the financial system. Of course, this isn't the first time that people have talked about the end of the financial system, and it probably won't be the last, but I'm positive that this is not the end of the financial system, that this is a medium-term correction. And I think that we are, if not at the lows, we are very close to the lows. This has been very good positive action across a range of markets, and this interest rate cut by the Fed at the discount rate is very positive. The market will be looking now to the September meeting to see if they will cut the actual target rate. And given the fact that the various pieces of short-term paper have been trading at rates that have already discounted an interest rate cut, it wouldn't be that surprising. I think if the Fed in a month's time, can say with a degree of confidence that they have acted enough, they may not cut, but this is looking like a possible bottom for the markets. Now, what would have to happen to make this not the actual bottom? Well, if it took out today's lows or yesterday's lows on the S&P, that would be a pretty good signal that we have not actually reached the bottom, but it would have to fall quite dramatically. And I think we're probably in for at least a short-term rally, or at least a consolidation around these areas. The big question is whether the next retest of the lows is above the lows of the last couple of days. If it is, and we can consolidate above following a retest, then that is going to be a very, very good signal that we've actually seen the lows for this move. But probably too early right now to start betting that this is the actual low for this market. We're one day off of at least a short-term low, and it needs to consolidate this move, or indeed improve upon it. Now, looking at the broader picture, in terms of the credit markets, this is not something that's going to go away, but the massive unwinding of leverage trading that we've had over the last week, and particularly with the moves in some of those carry trade currencies that we saw yesterday and the strengthening of the yen, that points towards a big unwind. And the size of the move indicates to me at least that we've probably seen most of it. So a lot of this unwinding and deleveraging has probably already happened. And if there's still more to come, then I don't think it's going to be of the same size. But this also is not something that's going to go away, and it is going to be a wall of worry for markets going forward. But given the fact that we've had these good rallies, and given the simple equation that we're still in a period of synchronized global economic growth, and while the US is slowing and house prices falling are a drag on that global economic growth, it's probably not enough to throw the whole thing into recession. And given that we are still in a supply inelasticity meets rising demand situation for a number of commodities, and given the fact that China and India have enormous young populations which are entering the consumer world in the next 10 to 15 years, the infrastructure projects that are going ahead, these all point towards massive investment in infrastructure and in everything that is needed for growing populations, particularly of young people who have the greatest demand for various goods and services as they move from being dependents to having dependents of their own. So that is a long-term theme, and while this is primarily a short to medium-term hiccup in the longer-term pattern of markets, it has been serious, and there has been terrible emotion involved with it, and particularly in the credit markets where billions have been lost. But we shouldn't lose sight of the bigger picture. Now, that means that even though we've had a significant sell-off in a number of emerging markets, that is still the growth engine of the world. And countries like India and China has hardly reacted at all, but it may have a small knock-on effect if we see the US slowing significantly. But the important point here is that these are economies that are going to continue to grow. And while sentiment has taken a beating and we've seen stock markets sell off, the fundamentals have not changed. We've had a big deleveraging of the carry trade, but interest rates in Japan have not gone up very much. Well, they haven't gone up at all, actually. And interest rates haven't fallen very much. Actually, they haven't fallen at all in the Western world, just the discount rate, which means that the conditions for the carry trade are still very much in evidence. And that is very cheap money available to anybody who's willing to take the leverage. And when confidence returns, I have no hesitation in predicting that that is going to be another source, or a continuing source, of capital for leverage trading. So those carry trades are probably quite cheap right now. Now, looking at some of the commodity markets, I saw a commodity report that passed my desk today, sort of a technical, very technical analysis type report, which was predicting massive falls in the industrial metal complex. And when I talk about massive, it was talking about nickel returning to 10,000. And I think that is pie in the sky. There is a fundamental demand for these industrial metals, and this is a secular bull market. They are volatile by their very nature, and they're relatively thin markets compared with the stock markets or the bond markets, so they can move widely. But there is a fundamental demand. People need to buy these things. And with the infrastructure projects that are going on in the emerging world, and indeed the infrastructure that will need to be upgraded across the developed world, with motorways coming to the end of their life expectancy, they will need to be upgraded, and the freeway network in the US. So it's not just infrastructure in the emerging world that's getting built. We are in a global infrastructure boom, and raw materials are at the center of that. Coupled with the fact that growing populations and growing incomes and rising living standards, people tend to eat better. And that means that you have probably the first demand-driven commodity or soft commodity boom, or particularly in the grains. And at the moment, following record harvests over the last 10 years, over many of the last 10 years, we are at a situation where global inventories are extremely low. It would only take a minor drought to hit the major producing areas in the world to send these commodity prices significantly higher, and that would have a direct impact on inflationary figures. Oil is another concern. It rallied in a most uncharacteristic fashion, being absolutely consistent right up towards $80, but it's in a reversionary phase right now. It's found support around 70, and it's at nearly $72 right now. But this is something that's going to continue to move upwards, and once it's done with this consolidation, we will almost certainly see new highs. And again, there is simply not enough of new oil being found to replace the oil that's being burnt. So the decline of excuse me, oil fields where it is easy to get the oil out of the ground is inevitable. That just means that we're not going to run out of oil, certainly not, but we are going to run out of easy and cheap oil, easy to get out of the ground cheap oil. And that is something to also bear in mind, and that means that there are longer term inflationary pressures in that area. What we've seen over the last week, particularly from the Euro, from the ECB and from the Fed, is a massive injection of liquidity into the system. I wouldn't criticize that in any way, shape, or form because it was absolutely necessary. However, that is inflationary. When you pump liquidity into the system, the more dollars you print, the less they're actually worth. And over the last week, we've seen the dollar rally, but not really very significantly compared with the massive moves that we've seen in the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar and the yen. The dollar has strengthened somewhat when you look at it in terms of the dollar index, and it's actually pulled back quite a bit now. On every occasion where the dollar index has been down around this 80 level and has rallied, it has posted a very large upward dynamic, and we haven't seen that just yet, which indicates to me that there is potentially further downside in the dollar, particularly if we're starting to talk about interest rates being cut. And that is, well, that is as a result of interest rates being cut, but the amount of dollars that have been printed and the various deficits that exist in the US have added inflationary pressures into the global economy. This is not the first time that liquidity has expanded at an incredible rate to stem a slide in markets. We've had the long-term capital management, which has been compared to what's happening right now, but there was also the Asian financial crisis, the Russian debt default, Y2K, 9/11, the Nasdaq crash, so the Nasdaq crash and then 9/11. And that is that those have all been used as excuses to pump liquidity into the system. When we've often talked about the US being in a bear market, We define a bear market as a generation-long period of PE ratio contraction and rising dividend yields. So it's a bear market in terms of multiples. You couldn't say it was a bear market in terms of the actual nominal price because, until quite recently, the S&P and the Dow were making new highs. It will probably be a good deal more, or a great, excuse me, a large number of years before the Nasdaq hits new highs. But when the deflationary fears that were manifested after the Nasdaq crash really started to get people motivated, the Fed started looking at what had happened in Japan. They purposefully burst their bubble that was primarily a real estate bubble, but also a stock market bubble. And they squeezed and they squeezed and they squeezed and they threw their economy into a deflationary spiral that has only ended in the last couple of years. And the Fed would have done anything to make sure that didn't happen in the USA. And they have pumped the system absolutely full of liquidity and printed as many dollars as they've had to. This has helped to support the economy. It has also helped to kick off the credit crisis that we're now seeing the result of. But given the fact that the dollar has been, until recently, quite steady against the majority of other currencies, sort of indicates that all the other central banks around the world have been pretty much at the same game because they don't want their currencies to appreciate. In the competitive world of globalization, there is no country wants a permanently strong currency, and very few are willing to tolerate it for more than a couple of years. Probably an exception to the rule is are the Asian currencies. China is gradually allowing the renminbi to appreciate, and we are seeing a number of other Asian currencies starting to appreciate as well. They've been actually starting is probably a misnomer because they've been doing it for a number of years. That means that countries like Singapore, who fancy themselves as the Switzerland of the East, along with Korea, they are allowing their currencies to appreciate gradually. And that is a trend that we can expect to continue going forward. When you look at that long-term chart of the Asian dollar index in the chart library, you'll see that they're about halfway up the fall that they experienced following the Asian financial crisis. So over the coming years, we can expect stronger Asian currencies and stronger Asian stock markets, which is a fantastic recipe for longer-term investors. And I suppose that is certainly something to bear in mind when we think about the longer term. We want to be in countries where they have fantastic growth potential, where they have strengthening currencies, and if at all possible, in those countries where they have massive infrastructure booms and where they are spending billions of their own money in improving their economies. And if we're looking for companies outside of those countries, we want the ones that are supplying those people with the raw materials that they absolutely have to have, and they will have to pay whatever price is being charged for them. We can see that China and India are scrambling around the world, picking up resources at an incredible pace, and particularly China has absolutely no qualms about dealing with any country, regardless of their political bent. Looking at the bond markets, we are in a new inflationary environment, and this is a long-term pattern, so we are going to go through mini cycles where we have inflationary pressures and then we have inflationary pressures declining, but the gradual trend will be upwards. And over the last 6 months, we have been in one of those periods where inflation has not been a worry. However, if we have oil prices pushing up and grain prices pushing up, this will come back to the fore. And while we may see some interest rate cuts in the next 6 months, over the next couple of years, we're probably going to be back onto that interest rate hiking regime, and they will probably get to highs higher than we are right now. And when they fall, they'll be at lows above wherever the lows are were the last time. And when you look at those long-term yield charts, they've bottomed, and this is the beginning of a new secular uptrend. And this is something that will play out over time with rising government, long-dated government bond yields that will put pressure on stock markets to pay out a higher yield to compete. And that also feeds back into our definition of a bear market. But getting back to the happy news that we've had a good rally, that the S&P is up 35, nearly 35 points, 2.46%, the Nasdaq's up 2.2%, and the Dow Jones up 1.82%, 233 points. And that's well off of yesterday's lows. So with that happy end to the week, I will leave you, and I hope you have a very good weekend.